I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, Christ's mind was absolutely made up. And this writer, Paul, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I studied just to mention to you, I know that you know, I studied a little bit about the mind. And I found this, and this may be of interest to some of you. The average person, and I'll take you above the average, and I'll take myself as the average, but you're above the average, all of you. But the average person, 75% of their brain, their mind, is never developed. Now, you think of the mind, the brain you've got that's being wasted. 75% is never developed. There is absolutely no limit to what a person can learn and do. I'm glad I believe that. They were there talking about going to the moon, Lord, oh, they'll never go to the moon. I said, I'll never say that. I won't say that. We're created in the likeness and image of God. We're more like God than you think we are in many ways. And I shocked an audience one time when I told them, God wants to be like us. Now, he can't condescend and come down here and become one of us. He can't. But he wants us to become like him. And then he would be like us. Now, just let that stagger you. But for me to say that I want to be like Brother Leland, that's saying I want him to be like me. And God wants us to be like him, that means he wants to be like us. And we're more like him in many ways than you will accept. I didn't intend to say all that, but I said it, and I believe it. Praise the Lord. What is the mind? Whatever that be which thinks, understands, wills, and acts, that's the mind. It is something celestial and divine, a God-given gift. The mind is one of the strongest faculties of the body. The mind. The immature mind hops from one thing to another, but the mature mind seeks to follow through. I'm going to talk to you about making up your mind. settling it. Settling it forever. I tell a Christian, if you'll settle it forever, I'm going to live for God. You've got to have the battle won. Just try. I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to try. Get that out of your mind. I'm going to do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm gonna say some things here that's gonna maybe surprise some of you, but I do believe with all of my heart that a man or a lady can make up their mind to do something, they can do it. They can do it. You make up your mind, I'm going to lose weight. You can do it. And you don't need a doctor's diet pills to do it. Get quiet. When I was 40 years of age, and that's been 46 years ago. No, not that long. 36 years ago. Don't make me no older than I am. My father was 52 in the waist. Now that's a big man. I was going to a city, preach a revival, and he told me to try to find him some khakis while I was there. One day I just went uptown and I started from one store to the other trying to find him some khakis. 52-31. That's the size. And I went to Sizzin Roebuck. I'd been to Penny's and Montgomery Ward's and other department stores. I saw khakis stacked over here. And I started toward a lady, said, "Can I do anything for you?" I said, "Yes, I want to look at some khakis just this way." Walking ahead of me. "What size do you want?" I said, 52-31. She stopped and turned around and said, "My, who do you want them for, a cow?" I never even cracked a smile. I said, "No, lady, I want them for my father." And, oh, it got away with her. And then I smiled and kind of relieved her. And he told me, he was just my height. And he said, "When I was your age, I was your weight." He told me that. And it registered up here. And I'm telling you people the honest truth. You can ask Sister Glass. I purposed right then I was never going to weigh over 200 pounds. I was 40 years of age. I'm never going to weigh over 200 pounds. And I weigh 190 now. And I don't take no pills or nothing. Just push back. I've had a half a dozen over here at the dino. "But Glass, you didn't eat much." "Well, I ate all I want." Just push back. The Bible gives you a diet. Now say, "Praise the Lord." Draw your knife on you. You have it. You can do it. You just got to make up your mind. And if you haven't got your mind made up, your diet pills are not going to do it. They'll last a little while and then gone again. But you can make up your mind and you can do it. I hope you still love me. I do you. Praise the Lord. I believe you can make up your mind I just believe you can make up your mind to be a good preacher, and you can be one. You're called to preach. And what puts preaching over? The anointing of God. That's what put preaching over in our Pentecostal churches. The anointing of God. Paul said, I come not to you with excellency of speech. That's what we all want. I don't come to you in the wisdom of man and excellency of speech, but I come to you in the demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost, and you can do that. Now, you can absolutely do that. And I think you should. If the anointing of God is available, why should we ever go to the pulpit without it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've absolutely prayed, Lord, if you're not going to that pulpit with me, don't let me go. Regardless of what it takes to keep me out of there, don't let me go to that pulpit without you. And I just believe those things. I just believe. Praise the Lord. A made up mind. Make it up that you're going to live for God. You're going to be a good missionary, and not just a missionary, but a good missionary. And you can be a good missionary. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I'm going to show you some now in the Scripture who absolutely made up their mind. And nothing could have changed them, and they accomplished their purpose. I'm going to take you back to the book of Esther, lest I get no further than the book of Esther. The Jews were scattered out in Ahasuerus' kingdom, this Gentile kingdom, scattered throughout the kingdom. And Haman didn't like the Jews. He just didn't like them. And he prevailed on King Ahasuerus and passed a law that the Jews should be destroyed. You know all about that. I'm not going to take too much time with it. But Mordecai, he heard about it, he read all about it, knew all about it, dressed himself in sackcloth and ashes, and so did many of the other Jews. And they were travailing and praying and begging God for mercy, and Queen Esther heard about it. And she had a servant by the name of Hatak that carried messages from her to Mordecai, her uncle, and to the king and what have you. Well, she sent Hatak to Mordecai to know why he was dressed in sackcloth and ashes. She heard about it. And he sent her word all about what was about to transpire. And let her know that she should go in the presence of the king and make an appeal to the king in behalf of her people. To me, it seems that as yet, King Ahasuerus didn't know she was a Jew. That appears to me. And Mordecai told her that she should go in the presence of the king and plead and intercede for the Jews. She sent him word back by Hatak that, you know the law is that no man nor woman goes in the presence of the king without being invited. And if they do, if they intrude into the presence of the king without an invitation from the king, they can be put to death except he extends to them the golden scepter. She sent him word. He sent her word back that if she didn't go into the presence of the king and appeal to him in behalf of the Jews, that deliverance would come from another source. God's going to deliver His people. Deliverance will come from another source. And I like to preach a long time on that. If you and I don't get up and reach the world, somebody's going to reach them. This gospel is going to be preached. Praise the Lord. God, I believe, has chosen us. Let's do it. I told someone since being here, God could very easily just brush the United Pentecostal Church aside and call a people that'll do what He would have done. But He's called us to do it. Let's do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He told her that deliverance will come from another source, but you and your house will be destroyed. And who knows, Queen Esther, but what God has brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. And Esther made up her mind. Brother, she sat down and made up her mind. And if ours isn't made up, let's make it up. Let's settle it. It's settled. Thank the Lord. And she sent Mordecai word, you and the Jews fast. You fast. And me and my maidens are going to fast and pray for 3 days and nights. And after 3 days and nights, I'm going to walk into the presence of the king without being called. And if I perish, I perish. Now, brother, that's a made-up mind. It wasn't no fear. Oh, I'm afraid to go. I'm afraid I'll be killed. That's out of her mind altogether. It's out of her mind. I'm going. My mind is made up. I'm going to walk into His presence, and if I perish, I perish. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, if she perished doing this on behalf of her people, what better way to go? I've been preaching now 53 years, and I've had I don't know how many people, Brother Glass, because I preach a lot harder in just church services than I do here with you precious missionaries. You're going to fall in the pulpit. I said, where would be a better place to fall? Just show me a better place to fall than the pulpit. Just go on. Praise God. My mind's made up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to try. I'm going through. Praise the Lord. And Esther made up her mind and she eased into the palace. I just visualize her maybe coming behind one of the big pillars until she got a good ways into the hall or parlor or whatever it was, and then she gets out from behind the pillar, and there she is exposed to the king. And he extends to her the golden scepter. And that's what she was really looking for. But she got so much more than she was looking for. And our God does that. He does that. I've been wanting to preach on life in abundance. Not just life, but life abundance. When He fed the hungry fish, they gathered up baskets of fragments left. When he gave Peter a catch of fish, his boat wouldn't hold him. He gives in abundance. Praise God. And he'll bless you abundantly. And here's what Esther received. Not only the golden scepter, but Esther, ask of me what you will up to the half of my kingdom, and you'll get it. Now, she wasn't expecting that. That came as extra. And God gives extra. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Thank God. Now, you see, that's the results of a made-up mind. At one time, her mind was not made up. She was offering excuses to Mordecai. But she settled it in her mind that she was going in the presence of that king. And when she did with grand and glorious success. And what? Look what it eventually led to. The death of Haman. The deliverance of the Jews. All because of a made-up mind. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Just settle it. Just settle it. I'm not trying. I'm not going to go do my best. I'm going to go do it. I'm going to settle it. Forever. I'm a missionary. Thank the Lord. I'm not going to say what I feel like saying, because it don't work out that way every time. I heard a preacher preach one time, if you're a missionary, why do you give a home address? That field is your home. I'm going to be honest with you. I sometimes wonder about being a missionary 2 years, missionary no longer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I heard all that, beautiful singing last night. I thought it took those precious people some time to learn that language. I hope it's not wasted. I hope it's used for many, many years to preach the gospel to the people that speak that language. Brother Shom, when he let it be known he is coming home, India, I went to him. He's here, and I pleaded with him, Brother Shom, my, where in the world is there a man better qualified than you are to minister to those millions of people? You know their language, you know their culture, you've learned it all. Don't bring it home and throw it away. I pleaded with him. I'm giving you what I actually feel. Don't waste it. If you could hand that language and that knowledge of the country and the culture, you could just hand it to a new one and let them go over there and continue. It'd be different. But it'd take them 3, 4, 5 years to pick up where you are. So be a missionary. Praise the Lord. You still love me? Be a missionary. Be a missionary. See, I'm going to go and be a missionary 2 or 3 years, then I'm coming home. That's going to be home. Whew. You see why I kept trying to roll this ahead. I want you to make up your mind. Make it up. Brother and Sister Clark, I know you. Make up your mind you're going to the Philippines and be a missionary to the Philippines, or don't go. Go back to Lake Charles. You had something good down there. Real good. I know they didn't want you to leave. Let's give the Lord a good hand. Praise the Lord. 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 I thought about Ruth and Orpha. They were identically situated. Identically situated. They were daughter-in-laws to the same mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi is returning to Judea. She hears that there's bread in Judea, and she's returning. She talks it over with her daughter-in-laws that she's returning. And you read it. I've read that beautiful little book many times, and I'll read it again and again and again. And they go seemingly part of the way with her, and she stops them. And she tries to turn them back. She tells them, "You go back to your people. I have no more sons for you. No more sons. And I'm too old to marry and bear sons. And even if I did marry and bear sons, you wouldn't wait for them. They'd be too young for you. I'm very sorry that the hand of God is against me and all of this has happened. But you go back to your people. Go back to your people." And Orpha, she wept, and she went back to her people, never to be heard of again. She's gone. She returned. But Ruth made up her mind. She made it up. And I read some history on this, and of course, we just get Naomi talking to Ruth and Ruth to her about, "Treat me not to leave thee," but there was a conversation between them. Conversation went on between Ruth and Naomi. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee. Whether thou goest, I will go." And then Naomi tells her that, I really don't know where we're going to lodge after we get, whether I'll have a lodging place or not when I get there. And Ruth said, "Where you lodge, I will lodge. I don't know where it's going to be, but I'll lodge where you lodge. And I'm quite sure you don't know where you're going to sleep the first night, the second night, but praise God, there'll be a place to lodge somewhere. Won't be like your bed at home. I've been over there in enough fields to find that out. I slept right on the board, floor, and slept good. It's surprisingly how good I did sleep and how good I felt the next day. It seemed like God makes up for it some way, somehow or other." And then Naomi comes back to Ruth was something else. Said, "You Gentiles, you worship gods in the plural, but we Jews only worship one God. That's all I worship is one God. And Ruth said, thy God shall be our God, my God." Her mind is made up. And then Naomi said, "Why, the Jews, they usually have a burying place when you die. Ruth, I don't know where I'd bury you if we'd get up there and you would, where you're buried, I'll be buried. Where you die, I'll die. Just don't send me back. Don't make me go back. Let me go with you." Naomi never did say, well, come on. She just turned around and started toward Judea and Ruth right in behind her. And here we are preaching about her today because she made up her mind. And she stays in the pages of God's Word. A book bears her name because she made up her mind. Orpha didn't make up her mind. And where is she? Where is she? Oh, that mind is powerful. Powerful. Just make it up and follow it through. And you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. That mind's strong. Praise the Lord. I love to follow Ruth right on through. She gleaned in Boaz's field. You know who Boaz was? Boaz was Rahab's son. That's right. After she married Boaz, in reality, Rahab became her mother-in-law. And I don't want to go preach to you the story of Rahab making up her mind. Go back. But then comes Boaz and Ruth marries and Obed is born. Obed grows up and Jesse is born. Jesse grows up and David is born to him. David becomes a great grandson of Ruth, the great great grandson of Rahab. And Jesus is called the Son of David. Oh, that all lines up so beautiful to me. Praise God. Praise God. And all these things come from people that absolutely, in God's Word, made up their mind. That's one reason why the Lord tells you to worship Him with all of your heart and your mind. I say this, the mind is the avenue to the heart. You can't get nowhere praying, seeking God with your mind way off out yonder somewhere. You've got to bring your thoughts into captivity and focus them right on the Lord. Your mind right on the Lord. That's the avenue to the heart. Oh, that mind is something powerful. You don't know how powerful your mind is. Sit down and settle it. Make it up. I'm going to be a missionary for the Lord. I've been accepted and I'm going and I'm going to be a missionary. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You that are on furlough, how many of you are glad you're going back? Can't hardly wait till you get back. That's the way it ought to be. I talk to them, and I do. I just kindly wish it is where you could come home instead of having to go on deputation for a year before you go back. I wish it where you could come home and rest up a little while and go back without having to go on deputation. I know you're glad when you get off a deputation so you can get on the field. Deputating is harder than the field, isn't it? Yes, it is. That's one reason down in our part of the country we try to have a place for you to stay and you can drive out from here. It's 30 or 40 miles of us will stay right in one place. We love you, missionaries. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me show you some more that really made up their mind. You can tell their minds were made up. Didn't hop from one place. Their mature mind followed through. And I'm going to remind you, and it'll come to you, of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, these young men, missionaries to Babylon, not of their own choosing. They were not sent there by Judea or by an organization. I'm going to refer to the three Hebrews first. They built an image and wanted them to bow down to that image. And their mind was made up according to the teachings that they grew up with, that they were not bowing down to no idol. They were just not bowing down. And when the music sounded and everybody bowed and they didn't bow, word got to the king and the king didn't like it, not one little bit. Calls them to him and tells them they're going to give you another chance. We don't want another chance. Their mind was made up. We don't want another chance. And to tell you the truth, King, we don't know whether our God is going to deliver us or not. Now, if they knew he's going to deliver them, why, sure, we'll go right on in the Bible. We don't know whether he is or not. We know he's able, but we don't know whether he will or not, but we do know this. Now that's a made up mind. We do know this. We are not bowing down to your image. Now if that isn't a made up mind, you tell me where one is. We are not bowing down to your image. Don't sound your music again. We don't want another chance. It's already settled with us. We are not bowing down. And they did not bow down. The king had the furnace heated 7 times hotter than ever and put them into the fire, as you know. And the ones that took them down to the furnace, the fire was so hot, it burned them to death. And the king saw a fall in that fire. I tell you, when your mind is made up for God, God's going to be with you. He made up his mind. Nothing could change him. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. I'm going to mention something here that I like, and I don't know if I've heard anyone else mention it, but I think of it quite often when I hear grumbling and complaining and dissatisfaction and fault finding and feelings hurt. And, they brought these three Hebrews out of the fire. King had them brought out. And the scripture said that not one thread on their garments was scorched. Not one hair on their body was singed. You couldn't tell they'd ever been in the fire. The scripture said they had no smell of fire on them. But you let some of us get in the fire. Just let some of us get in the fire. You smell us all over the campground. That's right. Everybody you talk to, grumbling. What you went through, what a sacrifice. Been in the fire. But they, nobody could tell. Not one person could tell they'd been anywhere around the fire. Now that's real. That's real men of God. It is all for the Lord. And praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Make up your mind. And the job is three quarters over. I said half done. It's just about done when your mind's made up. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And his mind was made up. He was going to the cross. To this end was I born. This is what I came into the world for. This is my cause, my purpose for being here. And he followed it through all the way to the death of the cross. Praise God. I'd just like to see you be a missionary. Be a missionary. Be a missionary. All that's been invested in you, let it count for time and eternity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.